That knocking on my microphone. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, I'm with him.
Do you pastor a church, Doug?
I do not.
Well, you're a co-host at Bob Inyart Live.
I attend Denver Bible Church, which is probably, it's the only church I've been able to find that I can go to because I drive about 40 miles to get to church.
You drive 40 miles?
About 40 miles.
Well, that's an honor to have you come. In fact, we have people come from all over the Front Range.
Amazing. I'm definitely.
Conifer?
Yeah.
Castle Rock, Parker.
I'm only in the top 20.
Fort Morgan.
Oh, yeah.
Masonville.
Sometimes they come down from Montana to visit.
Regularly. Yeah. And out of state. We have out of state visitors often.
Yeah.
We're going to have visitors from Costa Rica in 2 weeks.
Wow.
That'll be great.
Now
the Clark family.
Can you drive from Costa Rica to Denver Bible Church?
If, yeah.
Can you drive over the Panama Canal? I'm not sure about that. They have a bridge over the Panama Canal?
You might have to take a ferry.
Oh.
Hey, Doug, there's quite a bit of news.
There is, but the big news is the telethon, Bob. We are very close to going over $10,000.
You're kidding. We just started. The month is young. Our goal is
$40,000. Well, no, wait.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this from a different perspective. Here we are. There are usually 4 weeks in a month.
Yeah.
The first week is over.
Oh,
and we're still
Labor
only
Day
a quarter
weekend.
Of the way there. So we stand at $9,545. And we've got the matching gift from Dwayne that has – I can't tell if that's been matched yet.
Oh, let me see. Let me see.
I can't tell.
That has been matched.
I have to do the numbers in my
Dwayne's
head.
Gift has been matched.
It has.
$9,745. That's where we're at?
$95.45. If someone in the audience wants to put us at $97.45, please call with a $200 donation at 1-800-836-9278. A $200 donation will put us – where Bob wants us to be.
1-800-836-9278.
I want to see us go over $10,000 before the show's over.
That would
over.
Be a thrill. We'll keep Bob Inyart Live not only on the air, but on the internet at kgov.com, reaching out across the country
okay,
and around the world.
All right. Now, this just in, we've got another $500 matching gift. Wait, the $200 just came in, Bob. $200 just came in. That puts us at $97.45.
Are you serious?
And
wow.
We have another $500 match, okay?
Connie said honest.
Honest.
And the staff doesn't lie.
No, they don't.
So.
No. Now, another $500 match has been offered by one James in Westminster. Another $500 match.
That's exciting.
If we can get that money in, we will go over $10,000 before the show is over. Call us 1-800-836-9278. But there's serious news that we need to get to.
What news?
Out in Hawaii. Yeah. The Honolulu Student Council out in Hawaii had taken up an ordinance.
The student council. You mean the city council.
The city council.
You always say the student council.
I know, because they remind
when the
me.
Story is the city council.
I know. You know why I do that? Is because back when we were doing our holiday home visit, you remember that?
Yeah.
The student council there in Arapahoe County, they passed an ordinance that regulated the size of the signs that we could carry in the neighborhood.
Yes, that's right.
And that struck me as something that some 14-year-olds would do in a student government exercise.
And they did it to 3 square feet, and we realized if we cut our signs in an octagonal shape, as octagons, the police, they all went to public school.
They couldn't figure out.
They had no idea the size. They couldn't estimate the area of the sign.
You could hand them a slide rule, and they just sit there and look at you.
So we got away with murder down in Arapahoe County. But anyway, Doug, I was on the air for years in Hawaii.
Yeah.
On their major stations at Honolulu and in the Big Island, Channel 11.
Right.
And so I'm familiar with Hawaiian politics. So what did the student council there
was considering an ordinance to make it illegal to have, and this is a quote from the ordinance, on a city bus or city transit, odors, you can't have odors that unreasonably disturb others or interfere with their use of the transit system.
That, you know, hey, Doug, reasonable is reasonable. I mean, you've got homeless people who refuse to bathe. They're on an island.
Right.
They're on an island. They could just go in the ocean.
Just but keep walking. Eventually, you will bathe.
Right. Right. Just, but they enjoy being filthy.
Oh, okay.
And so anyway, it sounds reasonable.
But
so
I wasn't sure
so they
where
passed
this.
It?
No, it failed.
What?
The bill failed.
So you're saying it's official now?
Yeah.
It's official that Linda Lingle can now ride the bus in Honolulu? Linda Lingle. You know how she is bad.
Now, you'll have to fill in the audience as to who Linda Lingle is.
Yeah, you remember. She's the Republican governor who, when she ran for governor, she is a radical pro-abort, pro-homosexual, liberal, leftist Republican. She ran for governor.
Republican?
Republican.
Okay.
Is that redundant?
And
Hawaii Right to Life, we have a dear friend who is very involved in Hawaii Right to Life, Jason Jones.
Jason Jones.
They refused to endorse her because she's a pro-abort.
Yeah.
Guess what happened? Guess what National Right to Life did?
Let me guess that
they did it. You're right. They went over to the head of the state chapter,
and they
endorsed Linda Lingle. At the time, the Republicans in the Hawaii legislature, about half of them, more than half, were pro-life. Linda Lingle won. She destroyed the Republican Party. It was already on its way out.
Yeah, but she finished the job.
There are virtually no pro-lifers left after how many years has she been the governor there? 8, 10 years.
Hawaii's not even in the handbasket. They're cooked.
It was going to hell in the handbasket. Yeah. It broke through a hole in the bottom of the handbasket, and it's now plummeting toward hell.
Yeah.
State of Hawaii. And, it was an island, a volcanic system, the islands.
Yeah.
Now it's part of the trench system. The Marianas Trench.
Yeah.
It's almost that deep.
It's going to be subsumed.
And so Linda Lingle, as soon as she won the governor's office, first official act, she gave a fundraiser for Planned Parenthood.
Huh.
And she was endorsed by National Right to Life, and she has destroyed any semblance of any pro-life principle in the Republican Party in Hawaii, and that is the fruit of National Right to Life. And that's why gutsy people like Brian Rohrbaugh, American Right to Life, and Colorado Right to Life, that's why they expose the wickedness of these national so-called pro-life industry
groups. So when other Republicans accuse us of attacking our own, we're not really attacking our own, are we?
No,
we're attacking them.
The bad guys.
They're just dressed up like us.
Right.
But they're not us.
Wolf in sheep's clothes.
Now, what? This Jason Jones, wasn't he an atheist anarchist?
He was an atheist.
Jason Jones was an atheist.
He used to watch Bob and Yurt Live from a dorm room in a university in California.
Okay.
And he hated us.
Yeah.
He hated us.
I can believe that.
In fact, he told a story one night. You remember what he's been on the show.
Yeah.
And he's known all over the country and even around the world.
He's a pro-life leader now.
He's a major activist.
Conservative.
He worked with that. He does work full-time with the Bella. You know the guys who made Bella, that pro-life movie, major motion picture?
I am aware, yes.
Star from Mexico,
Eduardo.
Jason Jones works with them currently full-time.
Cool.
And he took his couch, and he turned it over, and he threw his couch against the wall. That's how mad he got at Bob and Yurt Live one night during a broadcast.
Now, that's when you know you're getting under somebody's skin, when they start throwing furniture at the TV.
That is good.
You know you're getting under their skin.
You know, the Pharisees in the Gospels, they used to baptize their couches.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it says that in Luke. They used to baptize their couches every day.
Now, did they sprinkle or dunk?
You have to ask them. But they baptized their couches, the Greek word, baptizo there.
Right.
But Jason Jones, he would toss his couch.
He threw his couch at the TV.
And then he became a Christian.
Yeah.
And sometimes conviction has that effect on people.
Yeah, I know.
Gets them angry.
I remember going back years ago, people saying, Bob, you're just so harsh. How are you ever going to lead someone to the Lord? And, you know, maybe it starts with some furniture getting tossed around, but you got the job done.
Well, with Jason Jones, praise God.
Amen.
You know, we plant, we water, the Holy Spirit has the harvest.
Yeah.
Praise God. All right, so it's official now, and Linda Lingle can ride the bus in Honolulu.
In Honolulu, no matter how bad she stinks the place up.
Yeah.
All right.
And Wanda Franz is sitting next to her.
Now, who's Wanda Franz?
The president of National Right to Life.
Oh, man. All right, they're allowed on the bus. Okay. Now, I've got some environmental news because I know that you're a very environmental guy. In fact, you were just camping not too long ago.
Yeah, at the National Park in Colorado on the sand dunes.
With one of your sons.
Zachary.
My question to you, Bob, is why would you choose to sleep outside when you have perfectly good facilities for sleeping inside? I've been to your house.
I've never been able to answer that myself. But for some reason, every month, my son and I, we go out at some adventure, some national park or state park, and we spend two nights, sometimes seven nights in a row in a tent.
Wow.
It's quite a dramatic thing.
You're dedicated. Well, listen to this, Bob, on the environment. This is from a Dateline in Denver. A federal judge has indefinitely blocked oil and gas drilling on a wildlife refuge that sits next to the Great Sand Dunes National Park.
Oh, come on, Doug.
Yep.
So they won't let us drill for oil and gas? Why? Because energy costs are too low?
No, I don't think that has anything to do with it.
That's not it?
A district court judge is involved, as you can well imagine. He's ruled that environmental groups had presented adequate evidence that drilling would cause irreparable injury to Colorado's Baca National Wildlife Reserve. Irreparable injury, they said.
That's Baca.
I saw on TV the other night, we exploded a hydrogen bomb on the Bikini Atoll.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like a surfer's and a snorkeler's paradise there now.
Public school teacher alert, atoll.
Oh, an atoll.
It's like a small island.
A small circular ring-shaped island. Well, we blew it up.
We blew it up. How about the Exxon Valdez?
I remember that.
Oil spill. It's pristine. I like some beachfront property there.
They have cruises there now.
Yeah, Russ Holmes used to live up there in Alaska.
But this judge, Walker Miller,
has
two last names. That's odd. Anyway, Judge Walker Miller says that to drill for oil would cause irreparable injury.
We were just down there 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
The Great Sand Dunes National Park.
Yeah.
There's nothing there, Doug.
Well, you wouldn't.
There is nothing there. I mean, you couldn't hurt it if you tried.
The saddest part of this story, Bob, is this poor energy company. Now, nobody takes up for the big oil companies, but I'm going to.
Good for you.
These poor guys at Toronto-based Lexham Energy Exploration, they've had these mineral rights since 1997. And they can't drill. They got to be going broke.
Since 1997.
That's just.
So let's see. I went to public school. That's 8 years ago.
They've been paying the lease.
1997.
They've been paying the lease.
Oh, 12 years.
12 years.
12 years ago, they bought these mineral rights and they can't use it.
Now, can you imagine?
It's criminal. It's
like
thievery.
It's like you bought a house and you're paying the mortgage on it for 12 years and you can't rent it out.
You can't live
in it. It's unbelievable.
You can't live in it.
Yeah.
So these people, like this Judge Miller Walker.
Yeah. Yeah. Miller Walker.
They're,
Walker Miller. Anyway.
They're dirt worshipers.
Yeah. And in this case, the National Sand Dunes, they are literally
dirt.
There's nothing else there to worship.
It's not even dirt. It's dried.
It's sand.
Crystalline little tiny particles.
So the dirt worshipers have won. At least for now.
Yeah. See, when you rebel against the Creator, you tend to look to worship the creation. And that's what they do. They worship dirt. They worship bugs. They worship trees. Trees are renewable resources. You cut them down.
Mm-hmm.
They grow these things called seeds.
Right. I've heard of those.
They actually could reproduce themselves.
They fall from the trees into the earth.
Yeah.
Well, so, the AP mentions that it's not just the dirt, Bob. This wildlife refuge is the home to several colonies of Gunnison's prairie dogs, migratory birds, burrowing owls, and songbirds, and elk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not just the dirt they're worshiping. It's all of the above.
All the above.
Anyway.
The prairie dogs, I remember, I won't tell the story. Well, we used to have a
Could
prairie
you be arrested?
Dog. No. We used to have a prairie dog shoot on Bob and Your Live on TV.
Oh, yeah.
We had a prairie dog Judgment Day video.
Right,
game,
right.
And we'd play it on Al. Back then it was Al.
Yeah.
Now it's Al the Sixth.
Wow.
That was six generations ago. So we played on Al, Prairie Dog Judgment Day.
Yeah.
And those things, if you have horses, you hate those things.
Oh, yeah. They break a leg. They
break your horse's leg.
Uh-huh.
And they're rodents.
They're rodents, yes.
It's you know, squirrels are like tree rats. These are just, they're rodents.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, environmentalists, they'll watch a show about polar bears. And they get so upset because the polar bear can't get a seal to eat the seal.
Yeah.
But if they watched a show about seals, they'd get so upset that the polar bear is chasing a seal. I mean, they're just lunatics.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Now let's go to the phones.
There must be another story.
We're going to break. There is other news, but let's go to the phones. Sean in Elkhart, Indiana. Speak your mind.
Hi. I just want to share my experience. I attended a city council meeting in Goshen, Indiana.
Okay.
And they were voting on an ordinance which would allow homosexuals to sue their employers.
Oh.
Cross-dressers to enter the restrooms of the opposite sex.
Oh, man. So this is a typical. Now you said city council. I was thinking
I was
council.
I was thinking the student council.
It's another student council story, Doug McBurney. But so, Sean,
well, it's about the same level, just a little bit older.
Right.
A little bit older in a very tragic topic. They're promoting homosexuality.
Yes.
Right. And similar to what we have out here in Colorado, we have Senate Bill 192. Was it? Where they prohibited publishing anything that would discriminate against homosexuals,
right?
Like the Bible.
Like the Bible, primarily the Bible.
And it passed, and the governor signed it. So anyway, Sean, so you described that bill. So you were at the meeting?
Yes, and it was a public meeting, so people are invited to come and speak. You had 3 minutes to state your position. There's no dialogue. You just tell them what you think.
Okay.
And I watched as Christian after Christian go up and literally state that they're going to set their Christianity aside and give their opinion. They pleaded. It was really disgusting, almost apologetically.
You mean Christians went up and they were afraid to say what they actually knew to be true?
Yeah, did they feel compelled, Sean, to say, look, I'm going to set my Christianity aside so that I can look at this as if I were a rational person?
Yes.
Well, that's ridiculous.
That's how... But, Doug, that's the state of Christianity today. You're trained to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You can't even say that God made us male and female anymore. You got to quote the dictionary and say this is wrong because the dictionary said something else.
This is wrong because it's traditionally been viewed as wrong.
It's traditionally been viewed. So, right. Sean, so what happened?
So I presented Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13.
Uh-oh.
That's... Getting right to the point. That's what you call a truth bomb.
Yeah.
I let them know that God disapproves of their actions if they were to vote for the ordinance. Now, they had already voted for it, and it passed, but because it wasn't a majority, it wasn't all of them hadn't voted for it, they had to
unanimous.
Do it again.
All right, they had to do it again.
And this time they had to do it knowing that God was going to judge them.
Yeah, so Sean, so you told them that God considers, and since he's God, it's true.
Amen.
God has declared that homosexuality is an abomination, that it's wicked.
Yeah.
So you explain that by quoting God's word. So how did it go?
Well, I was very harsh and confrontational, but I did that on purpose because I watched as the Christians go up and even the attorneys, and the eyes of the council members glaze over. They're looking into the audience. Not really paying attention.
They're looking at their watch. When are these Christians going to shut up and go home, go to church, go pray, go to Sunday school?
Go to church, leave us alone.
Right.
Yeah. And so I had their attention, though. I was very aggressive, and I had their attention, and they listened to what I had to say. But as I said in the audience, and I listened to the testimonies, I got to meet the executive director of the Indiana chapter of American Family Association.
All right.
And we didn't talk a whole lot, but a little bit, and we exchanged information. I just, I said, hey, if I could ever help you, let me know. And the next day after, one person did change their mind.
Oh.
And so it was voted down.
All right.
Wow, that's really great.
So you struck the fear of God into him.
Well, that's
and
not,
we don't
no.
know who. We don't know who
his mind
or why.
Of what I said.
Okay.
Oh, he didn't.
All right.
No,
well,
fact,
thanks
I'll
for clarifying
you,
that.
He changed his mind because a Christian lawyer, 1 week before the vote, by using secular evidence of what type of law is doing in Colorado, is what changed his mind.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for being very accurate here. So then you had a follow-up conversation. We're almost out of time. Go ahead.
The executive director of American Family. There was a lot of big names there. There was like Kurt Smith from Indiana Family Institute and Patrick Manigan from Citizens of Community Values, Eric Miller from Advance America, Glenn
Lee.
All right.
So, Sean, get to right to the point. We're almost
all right.
out of time.
So he sends me an email and says that when making an argument in a political forum, it's prudent and far more persuasive to make a biblical argument with Christian compassion using secular reasoning or terms.
So, in other words, it's the National Right to Life approach that as Christians we should not mention God or God's word.
Yes, and he used the reasoning is that when Paul says he goes to someone of the law, he goes in the law. When he goes to a Jew, he's a Jew.
Yeah, and he tells them what God's word says.
Yeah.
He doesn't go and not mention God's word. So, Sean, I wonder how that's working out for these guys. Their secular approach, keep God in the closet, to fighting the culture wars, Doug. It's working out really well.
That's why
it?
We're winning the culture
National
wars.
Right to Life started this 30 years ago, telling their activists, their leaders, don't mention God, don't quote the Bible. We're going to win this on the terms of science and the laws of science. The laws of science don't mention right and wrong. They don't mention right and wrong.
No, they don't.
God is the one who made us male and female. If you can't mention God or God's word, what's the difference what homos do?
And, Sean, what good is it going to do these people's souls to reason from some secular scientific, you know, you care about their souls. It's not just about winning the debate.
That's right. So thank you very much, Sean. I appreciate that call. Thank you. So, Doug, this is standard fare. Our Christian leaders, and Sean was mentioning all the big names there in Indiana.
Yeah.
Our Christian leaders are ashamed if you mention God or his word. We got to win this based on the laws of science.
Right, right. So, example, Bob, we're winning the culture war. Let me give you a couple of stories from Philadelphia. Just an example of how well the culture war is going for our side. A shooting occurred during a pickup basketball game at a Philly Recreation Center. 23-year-old man was killed. Two men approached the group, fired shots. Killing a guy playing a basketball game.
So this is a basketball. So it's not as though these people were just crossing a college campus, right?
Dateline Atlanta from the Associated Press. A 19-year-old student was killed by a stray bullet as she walked across campus with friends.
What a tragedy.
Clark Atlanta University.
What a tragedy, huh?
Yeah.
We live in a culture of death.
Yeah.
And Brian Orbaugh is right. It begins with the rejection of God and his word and his command, thou shalt not murder. And we legalize the killing of unborn children. So we just have a culture of death, murder, mayhem.
Yeah.
And so it's not as though these two were crossing a college campus. That, you understand, getting shot dead, right?
Well, I
guess. But they were at an inner city basketball court.
Right, a basketball court. Every time I read one of these stories, which, by the way, Bob, if you chose to do so, if anyone, even the biggest host in the country with a three-hour daily show, they could do every minute of every show just about the shootings, the killings, the stabbings,
just
the burnings,
murders.
The violence. Just
the
go
murders.
On and on. Every time I read one of these stories, I think of that line from the Bible, early in the Bible, that the earth was filled with violence. That's what it reminds me.
Yeah.
That was right before the
Genesis
flood.
Genesis 6.
Yeah.
And, hey, Doug, when I was on in South Bend, Indiana, I took the South Bend Tribune, just that day's copy. There were five murders in the town of South Bend.
South Bend.
Yeah.
The heartland.
Of Northern Indiana.
Yeah.
And so I did this and said how just criminal, what a meltdown of society. And the chief of police in South Bend, I think it was the chief of police, he was quoted in the paper for the following newspaper cycle.
Yeah.
And he said, it's no different than 20 years ago. We just talk about it more.
Oh, yeah.
And
sure.
I'm thinking 20 years ago were the 70s. We didn't have newspapers in the 70s. So I got the same paper from 20 years earlier.
Yeah.
The only crime in the whole paper was a woman had her purse snatched.
Wow.
That was it. Purse snatched to five murders.
Mm. All right. Now, we just did a story that led us to quote Genesis. I want to move a little further along. I've got a story out of San Marcos, Texas that I want to get your opinion on.
Mm.
A group of teenagers were trying to break into a house, and it's shortly before 2 a.m.
What a tragedy.
Shortly before 2 a.m., one of the residents opened fire and killed two of these teenagers, seriously wounded the third.
Yeah. Now, all other things being equal, the Bible says he is justified.
Oh, really?
He is justified.
I wanted to get your opinion on
Why? If a neighbor kid breaks into your home and grabs your wallet off the kitchen counter and he's running out the back door, you do not have the right to shoot him and kill him.
That seems reasonable that you can't. Yeah,
you don't have that right. There's an escalation of force.
To kill someone over a piece of property that's been stolen is...
There's an escalation of the use of force and depends on the threat and the perceived threat. And at night, in your home, people are breaking in. The threat is extraordinary.
You don't know what they're coming in.
You don't know. And rape, kidnapping, murder... It is such a horrendous invasion of a family's security and privacy. And so all other things being equal, this guy is justified. That's in Exodus 22. You can learn about it at American Right to Life. Read their vigilante worksheet.
Very good. Oh, The three people who were in the home at the time, the AP reports that none of them were injured.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. All right, now, finally, I want to, by the way, the telethon, what are we at now? I can't get the number. I can't get the number. Are we over 9,000? We were. We started out over 9. Are we over 10,000 yet?
We're
1-800-836-9278. We have another $500 matching gift that if you'll call up and give another $500, hey, we'll put us over 10,000.
$9,745.
$9,745.
There's a $500 matching gift.
Yeah.
So we could go over $10,000, 1-800-836-9278, and you get a free CD or DVD of Bob and Yurt Live, anything we've got. Or if you subscribe or give monthly,
right,
you get two DVDs or CDs, any Bible study album, whatever you'd like.
Awesome deal.
That we produce.
Awesome deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, what's the last story?
I got a last story from the London Times. Now, this is a little bit gross. I want to warn the audience.
All right.
A prisoner over there in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Who was born a man,
yeah,
has won a legal battle to be transferred to a woman's prison.
Come on.
And this is apparently...
He's that murderer who dresses like a woman? He's a transsexual?
He's a transsexual. Yeah,
transsexual murderer.
Been convicted of murder and attempted rape in his career.
And
its
so,
career.
And
career?
So now he is being transferred for life to a women's prison?
And
oh, great. So he won the Powerball. Ladies' night every night?
Winning the lottery.
This is so absurd, and what a crime for these women that he's now going to accost, undoubtedly. You know, you'll have loser guys who can't get a woman.
Yeah.
They're going to cross-dress and go murder somebody.
Sure.
Just to get a life sentence with women in co-ed showers.
This is a dangerous precedent.
I mean, these are lunatics. The inmates are running the asylum. They're putting a guy in a woman's prison for life.
They're very progressive there in the United Kingdom, I've noticed.
They are.
As they teeter on the rim of hell over there in the United. It's really sad what's happening.
Precipice.
To Great Britain.
Yeah, so anything else in that story, Doug?
I don't know if I can go any further. The barrister, the lawyer, told the judge that although the woman has now served her minimal jail sentence, she has been told by the parole board that she remains an unacceptable risk to the public.
Well, her birth certificate has been changed.
Oh, yeah, the birth certificate was amended.
Just another clerical error. Maranatha.